Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, we really do speak to nations. Amen? Starting with speaking to our nation. Glory to God. You know, when we started singing that song, We Speak to Nations, it is so many years ago when... Okay, not so many years, but some years ago when I loved the song Days of Elijah. But you notice that my sort of end-time preaching changed a bit after that time from we are living in the end time to this is how we prepare for the time we are living in. Praise the Lord. That was a time when, you know where we started, where some, you know, end times looking at the signs and so on. But then, like, at some stage, you say, where is this going? So now we know we are living in the last days. So now we know there is some sinister things being planned by the devil. But now, where do we stand in all of this? Now, that's where we speak to nations comes in. Praise the Lord. And we speak to, first of all, to our nation. Now, you know, some time ago, we challenged our people when we were praying to stop praying about personal prayers and start praying for the nation. And we got some serious testimonies from that, because when people pray for personal things, they become very petty, you know. And that really is the church, the old church, where it's about you. I want a good this, I want a good that, I want to live a good life. And basically what you're doing is getting things which are trivial or which are supposed to be add-ons and making them the main thing, okay? It's like going to a wonderful restaurant and they tell you that choose any meal you want, it's on the house. And you say, me, I just want to have some ketchup and some pepper. And the person looks at you and says, those come with the meal, so why don't you choose the meal if that's, you know? But you see, people get very petty when they start thinking only about themselves. And yet now we are speaking to nations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when we actually started challenging people to pray for Uganda, then people started having bigger visions, bigger dreams, bigger things. They were seeing bigger things, even for themselves, without actually looking at things for themselves. They were seeing that there can be a solution to where there is a big problem. Praise the Lord. Now, that, by the way, is one of the biggest challenges for anybody, to stop whining and stop complaining and actually see themselves as a solution, and then start working with that mindset of, okay, there is a problem, but Lord, here I am. Use me. I can be a solution to all this. Now, the minute the mindset changes, that's the mindset of Days of Elijah, although it was very important, because, you know, I'll tell you why. When the mindset moves from Days of Elijah to We Speak to Nations, then now that's when you start seeing real things. Now, about more than a month ago, we had a prayer here, and we were praying for the nations right here in an overnight. And there's a scripture which the Lord showed me that was 2 weeks before the middle of August. And I was just seated outside there praying, and everybody was praying. People were moving around here praying somewhere inside, and suddenly, this scripture, the Lord showed it to me, told me, go to Isaiah 51. So I opened Isaiah 51, and then when I opened, I started reading from a verse, I know 11, but then it's read forward, then he showed me something which is true, which I'm going to share with you now, because now we have to know where we stand. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 21, it says, therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, and you drunk, but not with wine. Praise the Lord. You know the thing of being drunk, but not with wine. And now he's not talking about being drunk with the Spirit of God as it is in the New Testament, as he says in the book of Colossians. No, this is people who are drunk with something, and who look drunk, but they have not had anything to drink. Amen? And you sometimes meet them in what? in town. Eh? And they are walking and they look drunk, but actually they've not had anything to drink, or perhaps even anything to eat for that matter. And they are talking to themselves, and you know, things are tight and so on. It reminds me of a story of which some pastor used to go to tell every Sunday, you know. And it was a sign that he has not, once he starts telling that story, I knew that he has not prepared anything. Because like, so he said that, and it's a common story around, of a guy, people are quiet in a taxi and the guy is keeping quiet. Then he's just silent, then suddenly out of nowhere, he says, bananyo buj. Now, that is drunk, but not with what? Like you have been pushed to the wall. Now, let me tell you something, you people. There are so many such people. There are so many such people that you encounter them and you look and say, my God, like everything has turned around. Eh? And you find them in all sorts of places. And I can't even go to details of some of the things that, but you, and you think, now the difference between you and them, all of you have faith. And regardless of how the situation might be, you know there's something good ahead. You know the Lord is, you know, is watching over you. You know certain things, and you know you cannot faint. You know that you've been there before and you did not faint because God was with you and he still is with you. You understand? Eh? Now, there are these people who don't have that hope, and God is interested in them too, whether they believe in him or not. But imagine you go through that and you have nothing to hold on to, nothing of faith to hold on to and say that, you know, the scripture says this, so I can believe this and it's going to be true for me. So anyhow, those are the people who are drunk but not with wine. Go ahead. Thus says the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Praise the Lord. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink of it. Now, here, don't think so much about his fury. But I will put it in the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over you. Now, let me help you understand this. Those of you who are not there at that night prayer, because I kind of shared it. Imagine a scenario. Some months ago, about 8 or 9 months ago, I was in prison. And the interesting thing there is, I learned so many things because I would wake up in the morning and sit outside on the veranda. And then they would give me some coffee and katogu. That's not for every prison. That one was courtesy of Claire. Claire would bring matoke and what, and so those people would prepare for me. Praise the Lord. So I would eat my katogo and coffee. And in honesty, that's all I would need. But as soon as I would finish, people would come from all over. Now, that place where I was has 12, they call them wards, over wards or something. And I was in one. And they would come from all those wards and come and start explaining to me their problems, why they are there, and how they have been dealt a very big hand of injustice for being there. But what I found so interesting is how many people were there because some connected person, somebody connected to this government, wanted their land, and they did not want to sell. And the dirty things that happen inside there. I told you that time when I came out of a story of a man, and I was seeing right there. This gentleman had been there 3 months. He's a rich man, middle age. Rich, you know. So somebody who was powerful wanted a building of his in town and said that you're going to sell it to me at 100 million shillings. 100 million cannot even buy even the plot on which it is. But they state their price because they have power. And the man said, I cannot sell my building at that amount of money and so on. So they said, okay. They come up with a case. And some of the cases are very, very, very dead. Like they can come and throw a dead body of a child inside your compound. And the next morning, police come and question you. And the next minute, you're on remand for murder. They don't even have to convict you. Because, you see, convicting needs evidence. But as long as they charge you, they remand you, and you can spend a year on remand. Then after 1 year, they say, sorry, you are not the one. And they've done that all within the law. So, this man, they came up with something for him, and what in the next minute is in remand. Now, you think, let me tell you, when you've tested prosperity anointing, and you go to that place, and the humiliation that comes with it, you see, you can understand it if you're there. Anyway, let me not go into that. But there is the whole system, and it's not about you or anybody. The whole system is made to put you down because it's supposed to be for criminals. You see, it's supposed to be for criminals. So you can't even talk while standing, you have to squat. So when you're talking to a prison warder, you have to squat. They call it Sarah size. So you can't stand. You can't stand like, you know, and talk to him. So everything is sorted like that. Counting you 5 times a day. And I was joking with one of them whom I met the other day. I told him, we are here counting money, you're still there counting people. Because in the morning, we will count. They start counting. 1, 2, 3. Well, then, there's one person who is missing. If somebody was in the toilet, they have to count what? Again. Sometimes it takes 30 minutes to count until they get the number they expect. Then, a few hours later, they ring the bell. Go and be counting. And when they are counting, you have to do what? Sarasize. So anyhow, now imagine this gentleman comes and he has done nothing wrong. Like, it's just, they want his, and he's saying, no, I can't sell it to you. First of all, I don't want to sell it. Second, how can I sell it to you at that amount? So the first month he's there, they come and tell him, are you now ready to? He says, I'm not selling it to you. They say, okay. Second month, they come. Are you now ready? He says, man, you people are. They say, hey, okay. At least increase. He says, okay. You cheat. They go. By the time they come back, the third time you're waiting for them. Because now you've been humbled. Like, humbled. And so they come. So they told the man, sign here that you've sold the building for that amount of money. Tomorrow, we shall give you a production warrant to go to court and you leave this place. So the guy says, are you sure I'll leave tomorrow? They said, you just sign. We guarantee you tomorrow you'll leave. So they even have the production warrant. Like, they're in total control of the whole legal system. You see, Now, that's what you say, lie down and we walk on you. Like, just lie down and walk. You know, like, maximum kajogo, where somebody says, lie down, then he starts walking on you. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. But because then the man said, are you sure? They said, no, we are going to. Then he signed. Then they gave him his, like, I think, a copy of his production warrant or something. So the man went rejoicing in being cheated. So now, somebody told him, that's Bakubie. Then he looked at the man. My son, I wasn't born with that building. Let me go and work. I might get another one. But I can't stay here any longer. First of all, you know what it means? Like, when you've tested nice things, and you have one toilet for 180 people, it is busy even if you wake up at 4 a.m. to go. It is busy throughout. You see, Now, when you go to bathe, there is a line. And there is no privacy. So you bathe, you're all men, so chill. So you stand in the shower and finish bathing. And if you're lucky, you have a towel. If you don't, you have to shake yourself like like a hen. Now, if it sounds funny, but if you're a criminal, it's okay. But now imagine they just want to, they have lied down and what? Walk on you. And then that's whatever. And now that is standard. Like, every day, at least 5 people would come with stories like that. And they are telling me, and I'm thinking, why are they telling me? But eventually, maybe I said, maybe God wants me to know something. Then you hear this one, then you hear all of them depressing stories. And then you say, but man, where is justice? Then you even cry and God say, God, when will you rain justice? Because surely, how can we be treated like this? There's one word, a piece of land. You know where Serena Chigo is? Between Serena Chigo and the lake, right on the lakefront, very prime piece of property. They came and told him, we are giving this some crazy amount of money, 50 million or something like that. A plot of an acre, anywhere in Munyonyo, not even lakefront. Minimum, you'll ask 700 million. They say, we want this lakefront, very prime. Behind you is Serena Chigo. In front of you is what? Lake Victoria. Take it or take it. There is no column for leave it. So now this gentleman knew. He knew. So what he did is, so he ran and tried to sell it to somebody whom he knew had connection at something at least close to market value. So he knew he cannot hold it, although he didn't want to sell it. But he said, let me find somebody at least whom I can pass it on to, who these people will not tell to lie down and they what? And they walk on him. So in the process of trying to find that person, these people found out. The next thing, they come up with anything. You raped, you did what? You've had those things. Some chick comes and says, he raped me, what? Well, the next thing, no, I did not. Okay, first remand. Then after some time, they say, no, he did not rape. But you've been there 6 months. And they do that all the time. So this gentleman ended up in prison. Because eventually he said, okay, let me sell. He said, we had to guess it what and sell it to somebody else. Then he said, okay, give me 50 million. They said, no, you're going to prison. And then when you go to prison, they take it for free. Lie down and what? Walk on you. And okay, that's just to, I don't want to depress you with some of these things. But just know they used to depress me with them every day. From small to medium to big. And sometimes when the prison ward has come and tell you, you think that one, there's a man who, you all know him, he was in the media. For, they got his wife, killed her, and came and threw her in a septic tank at his home. They wanted his company. The man is now moving. Court, prison, between court and prison. Imagine, first of all, you've lost your wife, the mother of your children. Tragedy. Then now, like, at some stage, you just say you people take whatever you want. Because this is an old man in his 60s. You can't stand that life. I mean, that life is not, for someone who is rich, who has been rich, like, and they take, it's, and they know what they are doing. They are going to squeeze you until you say whatever you want to take, you take. And then they walk on your back, and they chill, and you like, praise the Lord. Don't praise him for that. Praise him that we are here. But also praise him that time when the Lord told me that, showed me this. But I will put it on, first go to verse 22. It says, thus says the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people, of the oppressed people. Amen? But you see, all over in the scripture, people have always wanted to plead God to come. They are saying, God, when will you? Even it does in heaven. You've read it in Revelation. When they are saying, Lord, when will you avenge our blood on those who killed us? Then he says, you chill. But he knows what he's doing. But when the time for his vengeance arrives, it is thorough. And it is thorough, praise the Lord. Pleads the cause of his people. See, I've taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury, shall no longer drink of it. Next verse, he says, but I will put it in the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you, and you have laid your body like the ground, as the street, and as the street, those who walk over you. Here is what the Lord is saying. Now, when I was reading this, I said, Lord, but how much longer, really? How much longer? Like, forget about, because they can't do, like, anything. By the way, let me tell you, if it is not the hand of God, because God has been showing me, and even some people around, the things they are planning for me. And I know them. Something similar. There was somebody even who saw a meeting of big people saying that find something on him that can stand in court. Let me tell you, if it is not for the hand of God, then what would stop them from coming and throwing a dead body in my compound? But they can't. I dare them to. Let me tell you, people have to know that our God is alive. You see, they are not God. And now, he can let them be, and because the time of judgment maybe is still a bit. But if we watch Jesus say, he can say, hey, okay, now. Now, first of all, the things they do are the same, you see. They set you up and then somebody comes and, you know. And I've seen all this, okay? But I prayed about it. And now, those who wanted to do it to me are going to go down. I'm telling you, we have to enforce the power of our God on this earth. Because people have been used to a powerless Christianity where you lie down and walk on. You will not walk on carburetor. You can never. It is not possible. Let me tell you, it is not possible. As long as I serve the Lord my God, you cannot do that kind of rubbish to me. But I've seen they are trying. There was one where they got a bag with the dollars. Now we've seen this, and I even know where it's coming from. Then they come and then, phew, they throw it in front of you. And then you say, what's this? Then you open. The next thing is, media people taking pictures. And they say, you're also bribed. You see, eh? And then somehow they shame you, make you look like you're fake. Like we knew. After all, where does he even get his money? Eh? We knew there was something. Those people can even get drugs. That's why when I travel, I don't check in luggage. I carry only hand luggage. They can get drugs and put it inside. You know what? Your bag, when you've checked it in. And then you arrive, then they start checking. Then dogs are all over your bag. Then they say, man, we've caught you. They say, and then people say, I knew it. Where does he get his money? You see, eh? And now they know the fools they are dealing with. So everybody will see that, yeah, we knew all along. Because, you know, okay, how can he? And then they have you. But not me. Never me. Do you know why? First of all, the Lord shows it to us before it happens. Eh? Then we deal with it before it happens. But now we have stopped just dealing with it. We're also dealing with them. Okay? Hey, we're also dealing with them. Now, one of them is going to lose a child. Eh? Then they will know. Because they have overwalked on our backs, man. Eh? Lie down, and we walk. Eh? And they... Praise the Lord. Like you see that. Then find something that can stick in court. What thing? Then I even saw another one right now. They are this time. They had really taken me to a certain big. And they were all these accusers. It almost felt like Jesus before Pontius Pilate. He said this. And they are trying to look for something which can stick and they can't find it. Praise the Lord. They will not find it. Not because I'm perfect, but in terms of the keeping the law, they will never find it. But also because, let me show you something. There are people who don't understand that we have precious promises here. It says in Isaiah chapter 54. Now Isaiah chapter 54, the whole chapter speaks about the things. You know what Isaiah 53 talks about? The death and sacrifice of Jesus. Now 54 speaks about all the privileges that come with that. Now, Isaiah 54 verse 4 says, do not fear, you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Do you understand? Eh? So now those who try to ashamed you by throwing money there, and they will not, the scripture says, I will not be ashamed. By the way, even if I had actually done something wrong, still that scripture applies. I will not be what? Yes, and I will not be disgraced. People don't understand that the devil likes to disgrace. Because if he disgraces you, then now you lose your standing in society. And even as a minister, even as whatever it is you are, you lose your standing. And people don't understand that the whole disgracing of Jesus, undressing him, mocking him, was so that I do not have to go through that. Amen? Even when I deserve it, I will not go through it. Praise the Lord. Now, as that's, man, I love that scripture. Because, like, people like disgracing. Yeah, we are caught in a scandal and what? No, I will not be disgraced. I will not be put to shame. Amen? Hey, I stand there. You will try and fail. And now, you see, I've told you all throughout, I have had people trying to put me to shame. Eh? There was that guy who tried to set up a whole scenario as if I was just a journalist. But I was a journalist with integrity. And this man was fake, mismanaging. You know, he was the FUFA president. So I would write very not so good things about him in very nice and flowery English. Eventually, I made everybody not like him. And the man hated me. But he set up something which was very well planned. I've told that story here before. And at the end of it, he had planned, I send a message somewhere, and they change the message because they can do that. And it says that they turn the message to say, if he does not give me a certain amount of money, I'm going to continue blasting him in the paper. Now, they had even planned to go and arrest me and parade me in front of police. You know those things, eh? Where they parade you and the media come and take pictures of you and they disgrace you. After that, you can no longer write a column. People say, Kumbe, all along all you wanted was money. You see, eh? And it was very well planned. But Isaiah 54, but like they failed. Like, and now the thing is this, all they needed for me to do, the only thing he needed for me to do was to send him a message. And he told me, Nsindikire number you, Nsindikire number you. I was driving with somebody going to Entebbe. I didn't know at the time that they could actually change an SMS message and make it say what they want it to say. As long as there is a message from your phone to his, you understand? Eh? The rest they can do. First of all, there were other journalists that stuff had been done too. So I went and asked one of them because he was my friend. I told him, but also you, how can you send such a message? Which is clear blackmail and what? The guy told me, I swear I did not send the message. But he had sent some other message and they had twisted it and they had paraded him in front of what? The media. That's a disgrace. Eh? Now, so I said, are you sure? I said, then how do they do that? He said, he's the one who told me that actually they can do that. I didn't know. I thought they would present the message I sent and it cannot be anything like blackmail. So anyhow, so when the man told me, send me a message, I was in a car going with somebody to Entebbe and I wasn't driving. He was asking me for my number. And I did not even think that why is he asking for my number, yet he has called me on my number. So like my mind, I was somehow mindless over it. So I started even typing my number, 07. Then as I was typing it, my mother called. Then started telling me long stories from the village. You know the other guy who what? Your father's friend, he died. We buried him the other day. Then the other one also died. We buried him the other day. But when are you coming to the village? What? Why don't you come and buy some land here? Well, 45 minutes on phone. When she got off phone, I'd forgotten. Then the guy called me again. But sometimes God can bear with fools. But the guy called me again. And guess what? I was going to send him the number again. And guess what? Somebody else called again. And we spoke for some time. Then I think the guy realized that the guy thought that I knew and I was refusing. But I didn't know. So he gave up asking me. Then somehow it got out of my mind. So when they did it to these other journalists, and the guy told me, no, they can't do that. Then one day I was driving, going home. Then I'd put on Radio 1. I was listening to the news. Then they were talking about journalists who had been paraded for blackmailing. Then the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, that's exactly what they were going to do to you if you had sent the other message. Like, and he just saved me. Now, you come out later. But you know, God is good. You come out later and say, I want to stand for president. You a blackmailer. No, I'm not. God saved me. You understand, eh? Because now the only thing they have on me is you kiss what? The prophet's shoe. And I say, man, I wish I got another chance to do it. Like, that's the only thing. Can you imagine the only thing they can ever have on me? So everything I put on Twitter, shukisa, like, ngabawe deyo. Now imagine if they had that on me. You see, eh? Isaiah 54, you will not be disgraced. Praise the Lord. Eh? I'm telling you now, I want you to claim the scriptures for yourself. Eh? That at no one time will I ever be disgraced. Amen? Even when I've done something disgraceful, Jesus paid the price for that also. Amen? Because he had done nothing disgraceful and he was disgraced. So that I will not be disgraced. Praise the Lord. And you just say always, I will not be disgraced. I will never be put to shame. Praise the Lord. That wasn't even part of my message. But the whole point is this. Now, that time when the Lord showed me that thing of lie down and walk on you, and I have a witness, somebody else who got it also, because I said, Lord, when does this thing change? When do we actually have justice? Because there's been too much injustice. And I said, but God, you're a God of justice. Like when? Like how all those people suffering, like there's one who they wanted his thing. He delayed to accept. The case went to court and they sentenced him to 20 years. So now, after the sentence, he came and said, okay, you take the thing. They said, we are going to take it when you're in prison. Now we no longer need your consent. You took too long. Imagine serving 20 years for something you didn't do. And it was all over the media. His child sacrificed. He sacrificed a child. What, you remember that guy? The true story is he did not. The people who sacrificed children are in state house. But that's the truth. And we know it. Praise the Lord. And we what? Yes. But imagine 20 years. 20 years. 20 years. Now, the Lord told me that time, and I told our people. He told me that in 2 weeks, the change is going to start happening. And then I realized that 2 weeks was 1st September. Then I realized on 1st September, the person who were honoring was dressed in black and white. Kankomao. Move it again there. And other things which I will not say here. But I'm telling you something. That the time of thinking that the gospel is what we thought it was before. Now we really do speak to nations. Amen? And now we are turning nations around for God. And every nation in the world, especially, okay, not all of them, some of them have gone too far, but all nations are at some kind of brink, at a precipice. They can go this way or the other way. Now that all depends on what the church in that nation does. We do not need a majority. You understand? After all, you remember what Abraham said with God? He said that if there were only 10 righteous people in Sodom, I will not destroy it. A city of thousands. He said, I just need 10. And I will spare Sodom for the sake of 10. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, we know we are more than that. And we are going to what? So, the plan of the enemy on this country collapsed on September 1st. Now, since then, every day I see an attack, an attack, an attack. Because the kingdom of darkness is scared. Absolutely scared. Do you know what it means to plot something for 50 years? And plot and plot and plot, and you see it crumbling, and there is nothing you can do. You understand? Absolutely not. And there is nothing they can do. They will plan to throw money at me. That failed. I sorted it in the spirit. Then there's one which I saw last night. The one which was like Pontius Pilate. And I was standing before this guy. You know that guy? And and they were all, I even know the people who were there accusing me. Now he did this, now he did that, now he did that. Now his tax records. What? I said, go and look if I have any tax arrears. Go and look. And they were all stand looking, trying to find something against me. Praise the Lord. But the Lord told us, those people who you told you lie down, I'm going to turn it on them. And he told us just 2 weeks. So now every day I'm reminding him, you said 2 weeks. But I'm seeing certain changes which I cannot articulate here because I don't want this. First, we speak here the Bible. Okay, and other things. Navigated away. Praise the Lord. But I don't want to get into that. But the truth is, you wait and see. Now, this is a bit of what I had planned to tell you here. Now, when we finished and went inside and were exchanging notes, some other people also told me, he has said 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So we had, by the, you know, mouth of two or three witnesses, a word is established. Praise the Lord. So me, I was so happy when we were there, you know. And by the way, that man's prophecy which he gave was right. That Jewish man, I was right. Now we are in the Chintu. But I have seen attacks on some people. I've been praying for people. Attack on this, attack on that. Attack. Like now that's typical devil. Trying to, first of all, on me, on other people whom I've seen here, and other people. Some of them were innocent, totally innocent. One of us saw, phew, dead. But he's not going to die. That's why I was away. And nobody's going to what? We don't die on the brink of good things. We have to stand and see the judgment of God on these people. Me, I'm anxious. And by the way, I'm not missing any words. I want to see the judgment of God on these people. You think that this politics, it's not. Because when you see the injustice, like you're like, and it's all over. If they want something, you just say, take and run for your life. Before a dead body shows up in your compound. You say, what? Like that man said that, I wasn't born with this building. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you read the word of this week? Still Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Now, don't think of this as a logos word. Think of it as a rhema word. Because I got it at a time when I was actually asking, well, now what's the word for this? Do not spare. Now, that's so important. Do not spare. Do not spare. When you're enlarging yourself, there are so many things that come to your mind. But now he's saying, as much as possible, do not spare. So if you've been one bedroom, say, I want Karina. He says, enlarge the place of your dwellings. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Enlarge your tent. What's the word for the previous week? Psalm 71, verse 21. Let's first go there. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Imagine, combine these two scriptures. On the one, you shall increase my greatness. And you know that you are called for greatness. Amen? There is not a single person here who is not called for greatness. Not a single person here who is not called for greatness. The previous one, I told you the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. What? In Christ Jesus. One of the blessings of Abraham is I will make you great and I will make your name great. I'm not even following that as if I'm teaching. I'm getting these words independently. Then it says, you shall increase my greatness. First of all, when he says you shall increase, the presumption is that you're already great, which you are. Amen? But he's just increasing your greatness. In other words, enlarging the sphere of your greatness. And now this is for us. This is for this nation. This nation needs for you to be great. It does not need for you to be thinking small things. That's why I was telling people, when you pray for the nation, you start thinking big things. The nation needs for you to be great. Greatness is your heritage. Now, greatness, of course, can be in one area or the other. But there has to be, everybody has to be in pursuit of some sort of greatness in an area. Praise the Lord. Because you see, we are in a different era now. The entire message says that, Matthew 24, verse 14, says that, now this is the mindset of the end-time believer. There is what I call the 1970s believer. Of rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Okay, yes, we are hiding ourselves in the rock of ages. But now we are standing up to fight. We are not just hiding, praise the Lord. And there is a time for, and I want you to know that even this music is time. Times are defined by music. Now that song, Rock of Ages, was sung in the 17th century. And it's very, very, very spiritual. All the words, you listen to them, the words are powerful. But they are for that time. Then, the next century, I think one of the songs, there was also the century of Amazing Grace. Very powerful, of course, isn't it? Then there was one of that one which Billy Graham likes singing. Just as I am. Eh? How does it go? As I am without one plea. I mean, those words are so powerful. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Very, very powerful. But not for this age. Amen? Now, this age is we speak to nation. Anyhow. Now, Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom. Now, when I used to read this, I would think about the usual gospel of the kingdom. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, Romans 10:9 says, if you trust, you know that thing. But that's not what he's talking about. Because elsewhere in Ephesians, he talks about the gospel of our salvation. Now, that's that one. Now, there is a gospel of our salvation. Now, this one, he actually mentions it as one of the final things that will come before the coming of the end. Okay? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then, now I want you to notice this. As a witness to what? To all the people? No, as a witness to all the nations. Now, there is a gospel for the people. How many people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then you... But then there is a gospel for the nations. You see, eh? Where you're witnessing to a nation, not to a person. Now it has become bigger. You see? And now he says this is one of the final events before the coming of the Lord. The gospel of the kingdom shall be... In other words, the kingdom, and you've seen it in Daniel, where he says there was judgment and the kingdom was given to the saints of the Most High. Praise the Lord. Now this is the kingdom we are talking about. The kingdom of Uganda, the kingdom of Kenya, you understand? Eh? But below that, there are even kingdoms of territories within Uganda. Okay? There's a kingdom of the judiciary. There's a kingdom of finance. There's a kingdom of business. Okay? All these have to be brought to the Lord. It doesn't have to be a kingdom like a geographical kingdom. It can also be a kingdom of a specific business or a specific area of endeavor. Now it says, and this gospel of the kingdom, it says somewhere in Ephesians, I think chapter 1. Now, which is different. Okay? Because the other one is a message for a witness to the people. To people. This one is, okay, in him you also trusted, you as the church, or as individually the church, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now that's personal. You believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's the gospel of salvation. But the other one is the gospel of the kingdom as a witness to nations. Now, this gospel is not told by going and preaching somewhere, although you can, of course, go and preach. This gospel is told by taking dominion over these kingdoms. Amen? Dominion. I was telling somebody the other day, there are certain arguments which you cannot win until you're blessed. You can preach to your family to receive the Lord. Then they will not, because if you're broke. But now if you're blessed and they can see, they'll receive the Lord. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is about taking territories. And these territories, now, today, the Lord told me that the Spirit of God has been unleashed to really, really bring people out of their smallness. If you just cooperate with him, he will start expanding your boundaries. Like you yourself, you just start seeing, he starts leading you into places. And by the way, giving you faith to even believe for that. Because now he has to use you, and now the time of, and of course he wants to use you. So even your fears somehow disappear because there is a grace that has covered you, and somehow you pursue something which in ordinary you would not have any business pursuing. You would not have any business even thinking that you can be in that place or be in that position. But somehow the Spirit of God comes and enables you. And you know, the scripture the helper comes and enables you and almost closes your eyes to the other realities. And I know this because there have been times in my life when there are things which God wanted me to have, and I did not have the sense to have them. So he closed my eyes to other realities and somehow herded me like a sheep into the right path. You understand? Eh? By his grace. And you know he does that. Eh? Because he says that now if I wait for you to... So he says, okay, let me kind of close your eyes so that you see the only thing I want you to see. And then you enter into it. Then you can thank him later. Now, this is what the Lord is doing right now. So that we take this thing of the gospel of the kingdom before the end. And now, man, like, we speak to nations. Amen? We do what? That's what you need to know. We speak to nations. We are no longer speaking to small people. And I'll tell you this. And I've showed you this scripture before, which is so powerful. Psalms 125. And I really, really, you know, the Lord says, command me concerning my word. When you get a word which he spoke something, you just put it in his face, Parker. You understand? And you say, you said this. So we believe it because you said it. And you said, Psalms 125, verse 3. It says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land which is allotted to the righteous. Now, the scepter is a symbol of authority. You understand? Now, the authority of wickedness will not rest or will not have dominion. That's what it says in it, whatever. Will not have dominion on a land which God has allotted for the righteous. Now, a land allotted for the righteous is a land where you stand and claim Uganda is our country as the church. And now we speak that. And we say now, because Uganda is allotted to the righteous, the scepter of wickedness will never dominate this country. And I remind the Lord every day, you said, the scepter of wickedness will not be allotted, will not rest. It can only pass, you know, briefly, as it is right now. But we cannot let it say that now Uganda belongs to wickedness. How? Impossible. It will never happen. It will never, ever happen. Praise the Lord. And we are here to enforce that. And we are not, let me tell you, we are not here to plead about, we are, you know, enforcers. Eh? You understand? Eh? You remember the vaccine manufacturers? Eh? You remember when we prayed about them? You read what happened in the media? Eh? It flopped completely. They are selling it for peanuts. We stopped it. We are enforcers. Now, we are not the church that was before. That, oh, God, I don't. No. He says, power I've given it to you. Now, enforce. Now, the other day when I was seeing, I actually said it to some people here, the Minister of Health, whatever, burning at what? At the airport. They said mosquito nets, but there were other things. Eh? There were other things. Now we are even setting things on fire. Eh? Now, let me tell you, because of us, our enforcement, now, when we pray, when we sit here to pray for the nation, we're actually saying we don't want this, we don't want this, this is not going to happen, this is not going to happen. And guess what is not going to happen? Eh? Now, the time where the authority was wielded by some secular person ended. We have to first enforce it here. The other things which we prayed about, by the way, but that vaccine factory thing amused me because it came with a lot of pomp. We are going to be my vaccines here, what vaccines? I'm not talking about revaccine. I'm talking about these fake COVID vaccines, eh, which are causing myocarditis and all that. Eh. We said, no, we don't want this here. And it flopped. What else should we make flop? Now, I want us to say it here. So that our guys go and tell it the other side. And we see who has the power. Eh? So that they try to make it happen and we say it is not going to happen. And then we shall see that the church actually has power in this country. That is the church we are talking about. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom meaning we are on the kingdom. We are the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is going to be here on earth. The scepter of wickedness shall not rest here. Now they are planning something very sinister in November. Death, it's going to be bad. For a little money, these people will sell out children and all that. But if actually it happens, God will hold us responsible on the day of judgment. Therefore, it is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. You will see. Amen? Now, I wish all of us got out of the mindset of the old church of where we are just, you know, being dragged along by forces. And we understand that we are the dominant force in this world. Okay? Starting, you can start with your locality. I've told you before, when the Lord was ministering this to me, when I would say, I don't want any person who is involved in witchcraft within 100 meters around my house. And Indians were shifting. True story. And then the next thing, when I said that, the next thing, my neighbor was a pastor. But then, he started looking after hens. And then he put there was a dividing wall. So he put his hen house right after the wall, and right after the wall was my bedroom. So I would sleep hearing. Then I said, God, now what do I do to this? He said, you don't want witches. He's a man of God. And so I couldn't do anything. But you see, at least I was exercising authority within my what? Neighborhood, but I was being prepared for bigger things. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you have to, like, and I've told you this. Do you know that those people of darkness do this all the time? Eh? And you know, when before we knew it, you'd see in, especially now here in there in Bugorobi Flats, one Indian enters a flat, within 1 year, it's full of all Indians. And they do it spiritually, using demonic powers. Now, if I was still staying in flats, I would want to exercise and say, now I've entered here. Anybody who is involved in any sort of witchcraft is leaving in 2 weeks. Now I won't even say, I'll even specify a time. And I can tell you they will leave. There was somebody who was telling this to, and he had a neighbor, you know, staying on small houses. He had a neighbor who would wake up at 3 a.m. and start blowing, you know, that smoke, mint. And then he said he used to also want to wake up at 3 a.m. to pray. But when the woman would be, he would feel heavy, heavy, heavy. So now usually, the typical believer would say, I'm moving because there are witches there. No. You don't give way to the devil. The devil gives way to you. So this gentleman said, no, she's the one who is moving. And so insisted. Now, what happened, and it worked so, within 1 week, she used to come and do the overlapping things to cheat power, okay? And then she would get the power she's using and put it on somebody else's bill within the same, because the meter boxes were together. So she would tune her thing through somebody else's thing, and somebody else pays the bill. So one day she was in the process. 1 week after that guy had said that she has to leave here because of me. One week later, she was in the process of doing that. Then the landlord came and found her and told her, tonight, I want you out of my house. Now that is enforcement. Amen? Then she left and she knew. She was a spiritual person. She knew she's leaving because of the other born-again person. And she left cursing him. But I love that. I love that. Because like now, we are speaking to nations and you're still fighting with witches in your neighborhood. When are you going to graduate to nations? Praise the Lord. We speak to what?
Nations.
Yes, we are speaking to nations. Eh? Glory to God. Now, I want you to start feeling. I'm saying all this because I'm trying to charge you up to a place where you understand the authority that you walk in, and you're not just a 1970s believer of Rock of Ages. No. Because you see, each generation has different battles. Now, our generation, we are fighting unprecedented evil. You cannot come with that attitude and overcome. If the church in Uganda was like those churches we used to go to, the wickedness that would be here would be immense. But because some people graduated from that and came to something where they understand the authority. And if you do not understand it, you will not exercise it. If you do not put on the attitude of Jephthah in Judges chapter 11, who said that whatever the Lord our God has possessed before us, we are going to take possession of it. Everything that God has given us, every piece of land. Now that is the attitude. Every piece of land that God has said this is yours, he says we are going to possess it. There is not a single piece of land that we are going to give up and say, okay, this is enough for us. No. You understand? Now that is the attitude of Jephthah. And when I read that scripture, I said, man, now this is a man after my heart. Every promise, everything that he has said. Now he has told us this week, first of all, he told us the other week, the blessing of Abraham. I want to treat this as Rema word. Then he says, greatness. You shall increase your greatness. Greatness. Praise the Lord. You see, there is a certain thing which had an illusion that would come upon church people. And they start seeing themselves as inferior. And you find even pastors quoting top businessmen. The most quoted person on some of these pulpits was Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs said, I mean, who cares? Steve Jobs is in hell. How do you start telling me what Steve Jobs? I mean, are you like, how stupid can you be? Like, how stupid can you stand on a pulpit and start saying Steve Jobs said? When I can quote Abraham, I can quote Jesus, I can quote Apostle Paul, and you tell me Steve Jobs? But you see, it is an inferiority that gets into people. And the worldly stars seem to be bigger than them. Praise the Lord. There was a time they asked me on TV, I was doing an interview, and they told me, which world celebrity would you want to meet? I told them, Kenneth Hagin. They said, who is that? I said, who do you think I should want to meet? Then they told me Nelson Mandela. Then I said, who is that? Because you see these guys, they want their stars to be stars. They are not stars to me. You understand? If you knew the things Nelson Mandela believed, the man hated God. He was a witch. I'm not going to imitate somebody who is in hell. I heard some of the things he said, despising the idea of God. And I even shuddered. And I said, how did I ever think this is a serious person? So when the guy told me, people like Nelson Mandela, I said, who is that? He looked at me. Do you know what they did? They cut that part out of the interview. And I knew they would. Because, praise the Lord, I'm too excited. Because we are going to crush guys. Amen? And now some people, even whom we spared last time, now they are the ones attacking us. So they have given us the liberty to hit back. Because they drew first blood. Praise the Lord. You know the first blood thing? You remember Rambo? First blood. When they came and messed him up, then he tore down the whole city. Then I told him, stop. They said, they drew the first blood. So now we are going to hammer deals here. People who have been wanting to kill our children for money. This is what we are handling. And this is what I've actually been handling. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you people to pray for your nation. To pray for what? There's a scripture which I like in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 verse 7. What does it say? And seek the peace of the city or the nation where I've caused you to be carried away. Okay, this was captive, but where you belong. You seek the peace of Uganda or of Kampala. Now, because you see, let me tell you, there are even other things. Now, okay, to be honest with you, anybody, there's a Nigerian, I'm sure you might have seen that tweet. There's a Nigerian who tweeted something and it went viral in our regions here. He said he went to Rwanda, he went to Uganda, And he went to Nairobi. You remember that thing? Then he said Kampala is like a slum. like, and you look, and it's the truth. Eh? Like, how do you know you drive in the... And he said, this is our country? Praise the Lord. Now, when I go to Nairobi, I have some friends of mine. Some of them were in the media and what, when I was still there. So we are friends. So that you go to Nairobi, and when you finish praying, you tell them, hey, I'm here. Then they start taking you to places. And man, then you think, if they came to Kampala, where would I take them? There is nowhere to take them. Like, the whole place is a slum. Like, and you think, and you see they are taking you to impress you, eh? That Nairobi is all that. Eh? And in your mind, you're saying, how? Where would I take them in Kampala? And the answer is nowhere. Amen? So you just have to be humble. That's not good. Eh? That's not what God desired for our country. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now we are going to, we are solutions. We are solutions. All those people who have suffered injustice, we are a solution. We are going to be a solution. All the children who would be killed if we are not stood up, we are a solution. Sometimes it's going to come at a cost, but it's a cost we are willing to pay. Amen? Because God is with us. God is with us. At the very least, pray. Go home and pray for your country. And say, God, you spoke and said that the scepter of wickedness, of these child sacrificers, these people who are stealing people's property and sending them to jail for 20 years, that's wickedness. And you promised in your word that is not going to rest on this land. So now we call you to your promise and say, we want Uganda for Jesus. And people who will glorify you are going to be in offices, who will occupy offices for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Now we have the ability to do that. Eh? And we are going to do it. We are going to enforce it. That people, a country doesn't just end up like this. You know the busiest people during elections? Witch doctors. Amen? Now, the next time there is an election, I won't tell you the year, but the next time there is what? An election. The busiest people are going to be men of God. We have to show those people that the power to put you in office is where? Is with us. And God has given it to us. Praise the Lord. Huh. Man. Some of you are scared. Huh? But good things are coming. Eh? Like very, very soon. Like I saw what happened on 1st September. So many things which I will not even talk about. And I knew slam dunk. Eh? Slam dunk. Huh. And now when it starts here, it's going to spread across the world. So remember what I told you when I came out of prison? We shall not rest until God what? Makes Jerusalem a praise. Eh? That's the scripture he told me. He gave me when I was there. Cheating. The one good thing that happened when I was there is my stomach became smaller without gym. So I came out when my waistcoat fits better. I could tie the button of my jacket, but that lasted like a month. Then I went back to original settings. Because you see, it's just this. Do you know the reason why? Because I would eat at 4 p.m. dinner. At 4 p.m. And then you sleep on an empty stomach, which is very good for the stomach. You see, eh? But now, some of you are going to go and eat a heavy dinner. And then afterwards, you go to the gym. Eh? So I can advise you go to Luzira. Cheer a bit. Those who don't have these problems, it's okay. Like this gentleman here. But they also get the problems when the blessing is multiplied. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, that's it. There are few people, by the way, who can survive the blessing. Also, me, there was a time when I was flat, but then the blessing happened. A good, bad problem. Anyhow, praise the Lord. Sit where you are and just pray for Uganda. Or pray for your nation if you are not from Uganda.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 752 92 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.